warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu wassalamu ala anbiya'illahi jami'an. Wa ala sayyidihim wa khatamihim habibi ilahi alameen, Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين وبعد فقد قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالين أمتعكن وأسرحكن سراحا جميلا وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا صدق الله العلي العظيم. We are approaching the 10th day of the month of Ramadan, which is going to be after tomorrow. And on this occasion, on that day, the 10th of Ramadan, an incident took place in the early days of Islam. And that incident is the departure, the eternal departure of the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Honorable Lady Khadija bint Khuwaylid salamullahi alayha. This lady is an outstanding lady in the history of mankind, not just the history of Islam. She's a special lady, special wife, special friend. And I'm going to say why she's special and why the Prophet, even many years after her death, he lamented her departure and he missed her deeply. And he would mention her name and her legacy in every occasion, to the extent that many wives of the Prophet, they were jealous. They could not stand the Prophet mentioning the name of Khadija, bringing it up in every occasion. I'll mention why she was great. Because she was a quality wife. She was unique in her character, in her contribution, in her generosity. Though Khadija was one of the three people, only three people in Mecca at that time, 1400 years ago, who was very wealthy. There were only three people who were extremely wealthy and the wealthiest of that city, of that community, the Mecca community. Two of them were men, and one of them were a lady, and that lady was Lady Khadija alayhi salam. But her wealth did not make her arrogant. Her wealth did not make her conceited and proud of her material accomplishment. She led a life of humility and humbleness, a life of service and dedication to her community. She was born in the city of Mecca 68 years before the Hijrah of the Prophet. And she died 3 years before the Hijrah, the move of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina, the immigration of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina, 3 years. So she lived for a total of 65 years. And when she married, she was 40 years old. And her husband, the Prophet, was 25 years old. And she declined to get married, though many people approached her to marry her, because she realized that those people are interested in her money, in her wealth, not in her character. And she was looking for someone who's not interested in her money. You know, sometimes in these marriages that we see around us, some people, they get interested in the other, not because of the quality of the character or the personality or the moral values, but because, you know, some of them are interested in the money, some of them are interested because he drives a nice car, you know, I fell in love with him. So in fact, she fell in love with his car, not him, or his house, or his business, or, you know, sometimes people fall in love with you because of your American citizen, you know, citizenship, or a green card, believe me. I say always this, be careful when you go back home. If someone says, I want to marry you, ask him, why do you want to marry me? And once you tell them, I'm not an American citizen, they say, okay, we are not interested in marrying you. This is the problem. When you don't fall in love with each other's personality and character, then that marriage and that love is not genuine. That marriage and that love is commercial, is artificial. Therefore, Khadija, she kept refusing. When people come to her, ask for her hand, she knows that this person, he wants her money. He doesn't want to treat her nicely, with dignity, with honor. So she would refuse. Until she hired the Prophet. She had a business. Large business in Mecca. And what was the business at that time? These corporations and businesses were two trips, one to the north, one to the south. In the summer, they go to the north, to Syria, Sham, the greater Syrian area. And in the winter, they go south to the Yemen. And Yemen at that time was very prosperous. One of the great civilizations in the world. Do not look at Yemen now under the bombardment of Al Saud. They spend every single day, Al Saud, they spend every single day $250 million on bombing the people of Yemen. Every single day. $250 million on the weapon that they use just to bomb civilians in Yemen. And nobody mentions this. Do you hear someone says here? If a whale is caught up here in the ocean, it gets more media coverage, believe me, than the suffering of the people, the daily suffering of the people of Yemen, who are completely forgotten. Nobody mentions them. Nobody. This administration never mentions the people of Yemen, what is happening there. War crimes are being committed on a single day. This is justice. This is American justice. This is the world international justice, where justice is missing. So they had two trips. She hired many men before, because at that time women could not be involved in business transactions, business deals, business trips. So even if she is wealthy, she had to hire someone to work for her. So she hired men, and they did not do a good job. She was not impressed with their work. But when she heard that Muhammad is a truth, an honest and trustworthy, As-Sadiq al-Amin. That was his title in his community. Before he became the Prophet, before he was ordained as a Prophet by God, during his youth, during his young age, everybody knew him in the community as being As-Sadiq al-Amin, a truthful and a trustworthy, honest. You can trust him, you can depend on him. And of course, she is wealthy, she has money, she wants to hire someone where she can put her trust in him. So she hired the Prophet on a trip to Syria from Mecca. The trip takes several months to go and come back. And the Prophet ﷺ, through his patience, number one, forbearance and wisdom, he made a huge money out of that trip. He sold the product in a good price, and he purchased a new product from Syria to Mecca. And that year, Khadija realized that the income and the reward is much, much higher and bigger than the previous years. And she realized the reason, because Muhammad is an honest person. Muhammad is a trustworthy person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she found this equality in him, she fell in love with him. She said, "This is the man that I want to marry." Before him, many people came to her. They pretended that they love her, they appreciate her, but she realized, no, they appreciate her money, her bank account, not her personality. When she found that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took this caravan, all these goods with him from Mecca to Syria, and he sold them at a good price, and then he brings this caravan safe back to Mecca, she realized that this is the man where I can put my trust in him. He's not going to fail me now. So she fell in love with him, and therefore she approached him through her sister. She had a sister. She asked her sister to go. She could not say that directly because of her dignity and haya and honor. So she asked her sister to approach the Prophet. The sister came to the Prophet and said, "Ya Muhammad." Before that, he was not messenger yet. He was not Rasulullah. "My sister Khadija is interested in marrying you." So she approached the Prophet, rather than the Prophet approaching her, which is customary in the Arab and other nations. She did not want to miss this opportunity. If she misses Muhammad, she cannot find a substitute. And this is something good. This is not shameful. If a woman finds a person who she really trusts, and she finds him to be fit and compatible with her values, there is no shame in going and sending her father, her brother, her neighbor, her friend, to ask him for marriage. It reminds me of a second story that happened right inside Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet was speaking at the minbar, the pulpit, a lady stood. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm interested in marrying you," in the middle of the community. The Prophet did not know what to say. Jibreel descended. This is mentioned in the Quran, the story. It's mentioned. Jibreel descended upon the Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, yes, honor her request. Marry her. وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ إِنْ أَرَادَ النَّبِيُّ أَنْ يَسْتَنْكِحَهَا خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ." وَهَبَتْ, she offered herself in marriage. And Allah said, "Okay, this is a good thing. And Ya Rasulullah, marry her. Honor her respect. Honor her request. And respect it." So the Prophet married her. There was a gap between them, 15 years. But that age gap is nothing. It's not a problem when personalities and characters and values are equal and compatible. Marriage should not be an issue. A lesson that we learn from our role model, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija was raised in Mecca. And Meccan society is a pagan society. Pagan society, it means that they believe in the idols. They worship, bow down before idols that they assemble and they create. Except Bani Hashim, the only family that believed in God and they followed the tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The tradition is called in the Quran, Hanifan. Maybe it's written here too. Yes. وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا. حَنِيفًا in Arabic means مَائِلًا, مائلا عن الشرك بعيدا عن الشرك swaying away from polytheism. This is the meaning of Hanif. Hanif, when you sway yourself, take yourself away from polytheism, this is Hanif. That's the tradition of Ibrahim. So Bani Hashim was the only family within Quraysh, within this large tribe, that they did not worship idols, except one person, unfortunately, among them. And the reason why this person, that many of you know his name, was from Bani Hashim, that he was idol worshipper. What was his name? Huh? تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ Abu Lahab ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet, the brother of his father, unfortunately, because he married a wife from Bani Umayyah, and Bani Umayyah were pagans, idol worshippers, so she swayed him towards her, rather than him bringing her to his side, she was more powerful than him. And this happens. I have seen many people in my life. They were religious. As soon as he gets married, he disappears from the mosque. خلص. Why? Because the wife has more influence on him. It happens. Don't look at your wife now. Leave her. Leave her now. And don't look at your husband. It happens. It happens. Sometimes the wife snatches him from the mosque. Sometimes the husband does this. She used to come to the mosque. Not necessarily mosque. Coming to the mosque is not a sign of religiosity. Being committed to faith, this is the sign. Even if you don't come to the mosque. Being committed to faith. Unfortunately, marriage sometimes destroys these relationships with God. Why? Because some people are weak-spirited. Weak-spirited. So Abu Lahab, he married a wife from Bani Umayyah, and she took him away from monotheism. And he had a very bad ending. Tabbat yada. The Quran chides him, criticizes him. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. That wife's name was Jamil. They should have called her Qabih. Well, I don't know who called her Jamil. Huh? Anyway. So, and the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amina bint Wahab, was also from the Hanif, Hanafiyya. Hanafiyya, not the Hanafi madhhab. Hanafiyya, the tradition of Ibrahim. The mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen, what's her name? Fatima bint Asad, was also from this path, the path of monotheism. This is what we say to Imam Hussein and other Imams. أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثياب. Your mothers and your grandmother and great-grandmother, all of them, up to Adam, they were worshippers. You were not nurtured in an environment that infested with polytheism, with shirk, with heresy. No. The environment was clean. And Khadija alayhis salam was raised in such a good environment. Her father was a noble man by the name of Khuwaylid, and her mother was a noble mother by the name of Fatima. The mother of Khadija. So Khadija's mother is Fatima, and Khadija's daughter is Fatima, both. So she married the Prophet. And the wife sometimes becomes an aid to you, a help to you, only physically, materially. Let's say she comes, she runs the business for you, she helps you with your finances, she generates some income for the family. And sometimes the wife cannot generate money. She does not generate, alhamdulillah, she consumes money in a good way. But she's an aid to you ethically and morally and socially. It means she takes care of your children, your house, yourself. Okay? She's a good help, good support. She encourages you. She stands by you. She helps you. If you come home tired, exhausted, broken, she says, never mind. Tomorrow is a better day, is a new day. Don't worry. There is God. God is there. This is, the prophet says, a good wife is one, the one who, when her husband comes back home, losing hope, tired, he's fighting outside for his sustenance, for his provision. People are harassing him in his office, in the market, this, that. When he comes back, she renews his spirit. She infuses in him new spirit of hope and strength. So the wife, she could be sometimes a financial help, sometimes a moral help. Khadija was both, financial and moral, both. When it comes to money, she brought in her entire wealth. What was the wealth at that time, my friends? You know? It was real gold and real silver. There wasn't notes like today. Real gold and silver. She said, Ya Rasulullah, this money is yours from now on. It's yours to help your community. It's not mine anymore. I'll give it to you. So she was a financial help. And you know, in the beginning of Islam, Muslims were persecuted. Their homes, they were driven out of their properties, homes, their belongings were confiscated. And many of them, they ended up homeless, shelterless. And Khadija's wealth was there to support the Prophet and the poor community of the early Muslims. She gave them the money, her entire wealth. She said, Ya Rasulullah, my wealth is for you. This is why there is a famous saying. What does it say, the saying? It says, مَا قَامَ الْإِسْلَامُ إِلَّا بِسَيْفِ عَلِيٍّ وَمَا لِخَدِيجَ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامُ. The Prophet could not continue his journey of Islam, preaching religion, unless he had two helpers. One of them, the sword of Ali, to defend Islam physically against the aggression of the enemies. And second, the wealth of Khadija to support Islam economically. Sayfu Aliyin wa mali Khadija. Three people. The Prophet would preach. Ali would protect him with his sword. Khadija would protect him with her money. And Khadija was the very first Muslim woman. The first man was, the first male was Ali ibn Abi Talib. When the Prophet came back from the Hara, the mountain, Khadija was, Ali and Khadija was the first people to believe in the Prophet. And for many years, not months, many years, the only population of Islam were three. The Prophet, Ali and Khadija. They were the only Muslims on earth. The Prophet started his journey of meditation in the mountain 10 years before his ordination. 10 years. After 10 years, Gabriel came upon him with اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. With the ordination, the beginning. 10 years before that, he used to go and meditate, and Khadija would take food and a drink to the top of the mountain to her husband to protect him. She was very loyal. And when the Prophet started the journey from day one, the aggression began against the Prophet. Physical abuse. Physical abuse, not just emotional, physical. Quraysh would chase the Prophet in every alleyway, in every corner, with stones. And Khadija was the only defender. And a young man who's only 12, his name is Ali. They run after the Prophet to protect him from the aggression of Quraysh. And Abu Sufyan, the father of Muawiyah, was number one in his animosity and his hate against the Prophet, Abu Sufyan. His name is Sakhr ibn Harb. Sakhr, stone, stone, the son of war. Imagine his name. His first name is Stone and his last name is War. But Khadija stood with the Prophet. She never left him. Even one day, with her wealth, and most importantly, with her heart. Sometimes the wife gives you the wealth and says, you take care of yourself. Sometimes no, she gives the wealth plus the heart. She says, I would be with you. I would not leave you. One day, this is a heart-wrenching story. The Prophet used to come back at sunset, from morning till sunset. And only job he had is to walk in the streets of Mecca and say, Ya ayyuhal nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflih. If you want to be successful in your marriage, in your life, in your business, you want to be really happy, productive, worship God, don't worship these idols. And the answer was stones, stoning him. One day, he was heavily wounded that he could not make it back home. He was bleeding. And the night falls and Khadija does not find her husband, he's not coming home. So she goes after him in the streets of Mecca until she finds him leaning against one of the mountains and he was bleeding. He could not walk anymore. So Khadija, she broke in tears. She said, Ya Rasulallah, enough is enough. You have to pray to your God so he curses. He would send his curse on this community who does not appreciate you, who disrespect you. The Prophet said, No, Ya Khadija, I'm not going to do it. لم أبعث لعانا وإنما بعثت رحمة للعالمين. I'm not a source of curse or damnation for my community. I'm a source of mercy and forgiveness for my community. She takes the Prophet home. So she stood with the Prophet. And the Prophet would remember her. Always. Always would remember her. And then before the Prophet moved from Mecca to Medina, Quraysh declared an economic boycott with the Muslims and sanctions, and nobody has the right even to speak to them. Not just doing business with them, nobody has the right to speak to them. All women of Mecca, Quraysh, they boycotted Khadija. They were her friends. A few days earlier, they were her friends. They go to her house, they socialize with her. They decided, from now on, nobody will speak to Khadija. Khadija remained alone by herself. Until they pushed the Prophet into a quarter. That quarter is called Shi'bu Abi Talib. And he stayed there for 3 years. He had no right to leave this place, which was basically a ranch. He had no right to leave. None of Bani Hashim and his family had the right to leave. Nothing would come in and nothing would get out for 3 years. Even food. They did not allow food to come in. This shi'b or this ranch was surrounded by Quraysh and they did not allow food to come in. As a result of that, shortages of food, Khadija and Abu Talib, both of them. Abu Talib was also the father of Imam Ali, was in the same ranch. Actually, the ranch belonged to him. They got sick and they died within a few days from each other. And that year was called, the year of the death of Abu Talib and Khadija was declared by the Prophet as Amul Huzn. The year of sorrow and sadness, because the Prophet missed and lost his two best friends, Abu Talib and Khadija, best friends and best defenders. After that, Allah asked the Prophet to leave Mecca, because Ya Muhammad, you have no supporter here. You are alone. Abu Talib is dead, Khadija is dead, those two loyal friends, you are alone. And those Meccans are going to plot against you to murder you. So leave. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. You have to leave. And after that, the Prophet left. She died on the 10th day of Ramadan. Because of starvation at the age of 68. At the age of 65. And the day she died, historians say she owned nothing. After being a multimillionaire lady in her community, she gave all her wealth to Islam. She was left with nothing, not even kafan, shroud. Kafan is very simple. It's not something expensive. Everyone can afford kafan, shroud. She did not have kafan. She left nothing for herself. Allahu Akbar. Look at this generosity. Nobody does this. Nobody does this. So the Prophet, they were worried. How do we cover Khadija and take her to her grave? The Prophet said, I have the best kafan for her. He said, my aba, فَكَفَّنَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِعَبَاءَةِ, his cloak. He shrouded her and he puts her in her grave. And then he would miss her greatly and he would weep for Khadija. And he would remember her on every occasion. Even when he left to Medina, he used to see some of the friends of Khadija. He would receive them. He would send food to their homes. Some of his wives, mainly one of them, she said, I'm reading exactly what she said. مَا غِرْتُ عَلَى امْرَأَةٍ كَمَا غِرْتُ مِنْ خَدِيجَةٍ. She said, I was never jealous of any human being in my wife the way I was jealous of Khadija. Although she did not see Khadija. She didn't see her. Khadija died in Mecca. And this lady, the Prophet married her in Medina. She never met Khadija. Why she was jealous of her? Because the Prophet, day and night, he says, Khadija, Khadija, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مِنْ خَدِيجَةٍ. وَمَنْ مِثْلُ خَدِيجَةٍ. Who can become like Khadija? In her love, in her sincerity, in her faith, in her dedication, in her selflessness. She gave all her wealth, left herself with nothing. وَمَنْ مِثْلُ خَدِيجَةٍ. Who can be like Khadija? So this lady said, I became one day angry and I yelled at the Prophet. I said, why do you keep saying Khadija, Khadija, I'm more beautiful than Khadija, I'm younger than Khadija. Listen to the answer of the Prophet. The Prophet did not say, no, you are not more beautiful. You know what he said? He said, Khadija, آمنت بي حين كفر بي الناس. She was the very first person to believe in me and my mission when all my family members and my community, they rejected me and they disbelieved in me. آمنت بي حين كفر بي الناس. وصدقتني حين كذبني الناس. She accepted. She said, whatever you are saying, I'm the messenger of God. This is true. She endorsed me. While people, they belied me. They said, you are a liar. وَوَاسَتْنِي بِمَالِهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِيَ النَّاسِ. She helped me with her wealth where all people, they deprived me from that help. وَرَزَقَنِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْوُلْدَ مِنْهَا دُونَ غَيْرِهَا مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And my generation and my children are from my wife Khadija. While others, they did not get pregnant. Khadija was pregnant with 6 children, 2 boys, 4 girls. The 2 boys, At-Tahir wa At-Tayyib, which is their nicknames, Tahir and Tayyib. Ibrahim from the Egyptian wife, Maryam al-Qibtiyya. Al-Qasim and Abdullah. Qasim and Abdullah. And when Qasim died, the people of Mecca rejoiced this. They were so happy. And one of them stood at the entrance of the Grand Mosque, Masjid al-Haram, and he said, لَقَدْ جَاءَ الْأَبْتَرُ. They were celebrating that, the death of the son of the Prophet, celebrating it. So Muhammad, when he dies, he has no generation, no children to carry on his mission. لَقَدْ جَاءَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Abtar is the person who has no children. The Quran says, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرُ. Don't worry, Ya Rasulullah. And imagine, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرُ. At that time, the Prophet had no children. His children died. Allah said to him, don't worry. We will give you an abundance of children, not 1 or 2. We will make them thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرُ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرُ. Pray to your God and help people. Inhar means sacrifice and help feed the people. Pray to God and feed. Inna shani'aka huwa abtar. The one who's rebuking you, he's going to be without children. And God gave after that the prophet, he gave him the jewel of the universe, a lady, beautiful girl, a lady called Fatima alayhi salam. Fatima, the most precious human being, the closest one to the heart of the Prophet. And the Prophet bestows on her this title, Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen, min al-awwaleen ila al-akhir. Sayyida, Master. Not in the jewelry that she wears, or the dress that she has, or the makeup that she puts on, but in her character, in her patience, in her endurance. She lived through poverty, but she never complained, because she was keeping the family strong. And you all know the story of the 3 days going with no food. You know, you experience the fasting. By 5 p.m., 6 p.m., most of us are tired, really. We cannot function. We are waiting for the iftar. And this family goes for 3 days. Why? Because they had strong mother and a strong father. Parents who are strong, they would keep their children strong too. They would keep them strong. This is Fatima alayhi salam. So Khadija was loyal to the Prophet, and the Prophet said, مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالٌ قَطْ مِثْلَ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ خَدِيجَةٌ. No money could help me the way the wealth of Khadija helped me to carry on my responsibilities. And the Prophet, one day Jibreel came upon the Prophet. Jibreel used to see the Prophet sometimes every day, sometimes every other day, sometimes once a week, depending on how revelation would come down. One day Jibreel came to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulallah, tell your wife Khadija, إِنَّ الْعَلِيَّ الْأَعْلَى يُقْرِبُهَا السَّلَامُ. God himself is greeting your wife Khadija alayhi salam. Of course, when you are a noble person, when you give yourself to God, definitely God himself will greet you. You become great in the eyes of God. Khadija was great in the eyes of God. And therefore, the Prophet said, the top 4 ladies of paradise are 4. Top 4 ladies. Number 1, Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Number 2, Fatima bint Muhammad. Number 3, Maryam ibn Imran. And number 4, imagine a Prophet is an Arab Prophet, but he speaks about someone from the children of Israel. See, we don't have discrimination in Islam. Both of them, actually, Maryam and Asiya, are from other communities, they are not Arabs. So Maryam ibn Imran is the 3rd one, and the 4th one is Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Pharaoh. Those are the top 4 ladies in paradise. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat. الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع لهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. Oh Allah, enable our wives and our women to learn from Khadija, inshallah. To spend their monies on their husbands. And enable, of course, our men to be like Prophet Muhammad. So when you become like the Prophet, your wife will be like Khadija, inshallah. And your children are going to be like Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and أم كلثوم معجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. Please, one request, أمن يجيب, because we have a sister in critical condition, and the only means of survival for her is your prayers, your dua during these holy nights. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. المريضة المنظورة السيدة فاطمة صالح اللهم ألبسها ثوب الصحة والعافية عاجلة وعجل في فرج سيدنا وقائدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات تواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.